The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome to Rover Sports. We are here on a beautiful Tuesday night. The gang's all here. As you can see, Dr. Lewis and myself are right here. We've got Coach Josh Dacey, Spencer G, Charlie Bowles, Colin Newby, captaining the show on WWDB 97.5 HD2, Matthew Vito behind the camera doing the video, doing the graphics, and there's a lot to talk about, and the big buzz in the city is Paul George. Paul George, we did a little bit of a teaser the other night, and Paul George is an 8-time perennial All-Star, and many think that Paul George could be the glue. He could be the Moses Malone to change everything with the Sixers. A lot of dialogue. Dr. Lewis, welcome. What's your take on Paul George?
It's great to be here. Nothing better on a Tuesday night than a little Rover Sports talk. Paul George was the guy. He was the marquee free agent on the market, and it's what we needed. It's what the team is looking for, stars, and this was the prize. There's no doubt about it. He's excited to be in Philadelphia. But the bottom line, Bruce and Josh and Spencer, is, as you know, it's all going to come down to the health of Joel Embiid. So if he's healthy, this team could win the championship. They instantly moved up to the second pick in Vegas as far as winning the championship, but it all comes down to Joel Embiid's health.
Spence, what do you think? We had a little teaser. You and I, we listened to a lot of feed. We listened to his podcast.
Yeah.
And Paul George, it's funny, when we first listened to the podcast, it was all about money. Whenever you listen to a professional, whoever it is, talk about, frankly, how they negotiated, how they positioned themselves with the Clippers, how he kind of got soured on the fact that Clippers would give him a guaranteed contract, and he ended up coming to the Sixers. The more I listen to Paul George, the more I liked him. He sounds like a real mature, steadying California guy, but I think he's very mature. For 34, he's not that that's young, but the fact is, what are your thoughts about Paul?
Yeah, because the first part of the video, which Bruce is alluding to, is when he said he didn't want like $45 million. And to the average person, you know, that they're probably never going to make. He was insulted by a deal which is going to make $45 million. I guess it's just the television dollars, and players used to not play for that kind of money. And you'd think that somebody would want to be loyal to the Clippers. But Paul George, I mean, this is somebody that, you know, hasn't won at a high level. I mean, with the Pacers, he was able to win. With the Clippers, you know, Kawhi Leonard just never really played. So he's always been a pretty solid player. I'm not going to say that if he's an alpha of alphas, he's probably going to stay on one team most of his career. That's not the case. But he's a really good supporting cast, you know, player. This is the best player on the market that the Sixers could have gotten. If you weren't going to get George, you were probably going to get DeRozan and maybe some other player, and I don't think it would have equaled Paul George's value. So you're clearly maxing out whatever Embiid is worth. So I think that the move is a great move by Daryl Morey. But again, he was fortunate that the Clippers underpaid George, because if George was satisfied by the LA Clippers, what would have Morey done then? So I mean, he was fortunate again that the dominoes fell his way.
We could also look at Paul George years ago. I'm going 7-8 years ago, when he was with the Pacers, had a real bad injury. He had a patella rupture with an ACL tear. Most back then, even, it was a career-threatening injury. He came back. It was great. Now, he's been off and on injured, not with the same knee, but last year he played 70 games. So it was a proven year, Coach Dace. And he's here in Philly. What do you see? Obviously, you study basketball a lot, Coach. And what do you see of George? And How do you see George fitting in with Maxi and Embiid?
Well, that's going to be interesting how that works out, because Paul George, in many ways, was the second piece or the second guy out in L.A., and then Harden came along, and it was it was interesting. I saw an interview with Kawhi Leonard, and he said he wasn't surprised at all. He knew probably mid-season that Paul George was leaving.
And he said he was okay with it.
He was okay with it, because the locker room, from what I understand, I've talked to a couple NBA guys, that locker room was a disaster out there. There was no chemistry. You've got four guys who think that the world revolves around them, and Harden, Westbrook, Kawhi, and Paul George, and it just wasn't going to work. One of the things that I've seen a few interviews with Paul George is he wants to be in Philadelphia, which is something that we've often embraced. Bryce Harper wants to be here. Jalen Hurts wants to be here. He talked about the recruiting video that they put along where you had the average fans talking about how they wanted him and how certain players and like Jalen Hurts and Bryce Harper talking about that, and you want to be a part of that.
Charlie Bowles, the world wants to know, with all these free agents, Caleb Martin, Caleb's acquisition, they put him up to number two in Vegas. Are you tempted to reacquire season tickets, or at least will you attend some home games? That's a one first part question. Second, what's your overall view of the Sixers with all these acquisitions? I know myself, I've turned on a dime with them. And I was really against Jared McCain. I didn't understand what they were doing. And now I kind of can. What do you think, Charlie?
Well, five ball season tickets, COVID would come back with my luck. So I think it's being on both sides of that. I think I'd rather overpay and go to the five games I want to go to. I don't care if I'm paying five times the base and get to see the games I want, than go down and see Detroit come in one night and whoever the next, Charlotte come in the next. So I will not be in the season ticket mode. But, I mean, look, George coming off a career year. Again, everyone forgets he was all defensive in 2024 as well. Shot over 90% from the line, over 41% from three. I mean, the bench, Caleb Martin was excellent. I think we were talking offline about this. Caleb Martin might be one of the best signings in all free agency. Again, I'm shocked he only averaged 10 points a game, because every time I watched this guy, he was well in the double digits. So, again, a lot's going to, Dr. Lewis said, it's going to manage on how you manage Embiid. I would have Embiid play no more than 50 games. Again, you're going to make a lot of people angry doing that around the league, but you know, are you in this to be the regular season champ, or are you in this to win a championship?
I think that's clearly the question. And essentially, when you look at them, they signed Andre Drummond, and they have a young guy named Bona. What's his first name?
Adam.
Adam Bona. I watched portions of the game yesterday, and I spoke to certain people that I trust, and people were very impressed with Adam Bona. They said he's a beast. He's strong.
Yeah.
And he played for UCLA, which is a real first-class program. So I guess, Spence, the question is, can you see them with Drummond and Bona? You know, obviously, when Reed came in, there was no rim protector. They got killed. They got annihilated.
Yeah.
Do you see those two guys playing substantial minutes?
Well, yeah, and also, it's my fault. It's,
it's your fault?
It's Adam with an E, so just
that's okay.
A hard...
I'll still call him Adam.
Adam.
Adam. Yeah, Adam. So
well,
roll the
okay. I probably will never be able to say that correctly, so no need to apologize.
So the one thing is with Embiid is, one, I don't think that there's ever been a coach that's told a player to sit out for 30 games. And then last year, Joel Embiid, remember, he was hurt, so he technically was sitting that time, and then he came back in the playoffs. The problem is, it's every other day in the playoffs. And Embiid's never been a winning player in the playoffs. I mean, last year, he was a mess on the floor. They should have lost game five if Maxi didn't rescue Embiid. He was throwing the ball everywhere. So Daryl Morey made the right moves. It doesn't mean that you're going to be the last one standing. I still would not say the Sixers are going to be that.
So Spencer, you say that there's not a coach in the NBA that would sit a player that long. There is a coach that would do that. You know who it is? Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse did it with Kawhi Leonard the year they won the championship. He really established this load management theory and made it very
prominent. Are you sure Kawhi didn't do that himself?
Well,
he's done that at every turn.
Either way, he was part of the load management. And getting back to Paul George for a second, you know, we talked about this for a long time during the playoffs when you saw Joel Embiid and Paul George together on the set. There was a chemistry there. They were talking. I don't know that we got Paul George because the Clippers lowballed him. I think Paul George wanted to come to Philadelphia to play with Embiid and to win a championship. When James Harden came here, I talked about it on the show. I was hoping that James Harden would understand that his legacy will be defined by winning a championship, that that would be the most important thing for him. He was mentoring Maxey. Coach Daishi said, I was wrong. Coach Daishi was right. I was wrong. Harden was still going out to the strip clubs and still doing his thing, and he wasn't dedicating himself to the game of basketball. I think Paul George is in a different boat. Paul George understands that he's got to win a ring, and Philadelphia was the best place for him to do that. And Kawhi didn't really seem to care, and that's the fact. So I think that this was established during the NBA playoffs when the two of them were together. There was a chemistry there. And like Charlie Bowles said, I mean, he had a really, really solid season last year at 34 years old. And he played, what, 72 games. So, I mean, he's going to play. And that's what it's all about.
So, Coach Josh, question from Dr. Mark Person. Great question. I love the fact that people text in real time in our live feed. And here's the question. Is Joel Embiid more interested in the gold medal or winning a championship with the Sixers? And throw it to you. Go ahead.
See, I've talked about this lately. I believe if I'm the Sixers owner, if I'm Josh Harris, if I'm Steve Ballmer, okay, who has Kawhi Leonard, these guys haven't played a full season for me, and I'm paying them almost $200-300 million. I don't necessarily want them playing in the Olympics. And you could say, well, they play pickup all the time, and you have no problem with it. I don't want them getting hurt. I'm constantly managing their time so they can stay healthy to give me a postseason that I want. To be honest with you, the Olympics, until you can remain healthy, in my opinion, like Steph Curry and some of the other guys that have done it for years and years and years through without load management, they don't deserve to be on the Olympic team.
But the positive thing is he will come into camp in shape, Joel Embiid, if there's a positive take out of it.
Charlie, let me ask you a question. I'm going to work right back to you. Charlie, because you're really good with like legal stuff, I guess you're the closest thing to a lawyer we have. And that's pretty good. Or is an NBA team able to preclude somebody from playing in the Olympics contractually? What do you think?
No, not if it's not in their contract. They can highly request he not play, but no, there's nothing unless it's that there's, you know, everyone's got this stuff in their contract, from skateboarding to surfing to rock climbing,
motorcycles.
But yeah, I'm sure nobody's ever really probably even thought about that, to be honest. It's probably good for the future. For Embiid, I agree with everyone. Like, he's not put a full season in. Like, I'm totally against him playing in this. Look, okay, you want to win a gold medal on that team? What's it really mean at the end of the day?
Charlie, so, you know what?
Again,
well, people talk about the dream team, you know, and people have those photographs in their rooms. And, I mean, it's important to... I like having pride in this country. And the thing about Embiid is he wasn't born here. He got here at 15 years old. He's not playing for Cameroon, but still, I like that.
I don't think you have a chance to win very
right,
much.
They probably didn't qualify, but I like that he's playing. The thing is, Charlie, I like that he's playing for our country, and also he gets to rub shoulders with the best players. He gets to rub shoulders with a Durant, a LeBron James, an Eric Spoelstra, and for a young player like that helps to
young.
Be mentored.
He's not young anymore.
He's and not number young, two. Spencer. Has anyone seen what a dog he becomes in the playoffs? Like, that's enough for me. I can take his gold medal and shove it. Like, I want him to win an NBA championship. I'm not going to be at that celebration, but I will be on Broad Street.
I totally agree with you, Charlie. In fact, Mark Cuban, when Paul George actually broke his leg 8 years ago, Doc, Mark Cuban brought this up and said, I really don't want my players doing any type of Olympic Games because it cost me the season.
It's a bad idea.
What about the summer? What about the NBA Summer League going on? Are you going to bench players in the Summer League? But here's the thing too. I guess, like, do you think that the opposing coaches will take advantage of that, of this? It's just a question.
No.
What do you mean by that?
Overplaying Embiid, do you think that the U.S. coaches are trying to wear him down for the following?
No, I don't think they would ever do that. I mean, that would be really unethical. And they also have a big – how many people play?
They got 12 guys on the team.
There's a big roster. There's 12 guys. All good people.
So he'll just be on the. I don't think he's going to be taxed that much against the competition.
He's going to be taxed.
I think we have a consensus that we would prefer that he work out hard, and maybe train. And one thing about Paul George is the work ethic. So I see the fact that you have a consensus of people. Nobody works harder than Maxey. One thing about this Jared McCain, I think that's his name. He's supposed to be a really hard worker. And again, I was against it. And again. You know, we're going to be just so we can finish
love
this
him.
Thought. Steve, I didn't know him that much, and when I first thought of just his size, 6'2", a shooting guard, not really a true point guard, I didn't understand what they were doing. And now all the pieces came into play. Caleb Martin, a really good defender. Paul George, Andre Drummond. I'm looking at it,
Eric
a good
Gordon.
Backup shooting at point guard. And I was speaking to somebody earlier who he once remained anonymous, who we all know is very knowledgeable at basketball, played college basketball. He thinks that this guy can be, he's only 19, he could be made into a point guard, and he could learn to develop handles. He didn't really show that at Duke. They had a true point guard there, right?
Yeah, they had like Roach there. They had
the
Proctor.
Jeremy Roach, who was really.
But as the tournament went
on, a long time.
He was the best player on the court when Duke was playing. An update for the Phillies, they're pounding Dodgers tonight 9-0. Trey Turner with a home run, another one.
I think he hit a grand slam, actually.
Bryson Stott with a home
run. I think Trey Turner's playing his best stretch of baseball that we've seen in years.
Incredible.
One last thing.
Go ahead.
Steve Kerr basically, he's flat out said Joel Embiid will be a post player in the Olympics. He will not be on the perimeter at all. They're going to use him in the post as much as possible.
Do you like that, Josh? Can he develop some moves?
He's wearing the long, so maybe he'll learn
something. We've got a lot of momentum going
to
the break.
Not all bad, not all good.
We are Rover Sports. We'll be back.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
We are back, and we have talked a lot about Paul George. A lot about Joel Embiid. It's impossible not to talk about it. I think we can agree that if Embiid is healthy and in shape, and if Paul George remains healthy, Maxey's a young guy, I think that the team should be very competitive. And we look at Caleb Martin. So let's talk about the acquisition of Caleb Martin. You watch a lot of basketball. For a lot of players who may not watch a lot of Miami Heat, I know you do, Coach, what is this guy going to mean to the team? Does he have a good work ethic? Is he going to practice hard?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if everybody practices hard around Embiid, I think that everybody's going to kind of uplift him. We can only hope, right?
Well, the other thing is I think you're going to see him more defined roles on this particular team. You know, he's going to be everything that we thought we were going to get with Tobias Harris. He's actually going to be able to shoot the ball in meaningful time. He wants to play there. Miami apparently is a disaster. He left a lot of money on the table. The chemistry is bad. No one really wants to play with Jimmy Butler. When Miami decided not to move away from Jimmy Butler, Caleb Martin basically, from what I understand from his agent, did not want to be a part of it. Found Philadelphia to be a situation where it's going to be Tyrese Maxey's team over the next five years, in the long haul. It's going to be his team. He can feed him on the post, off the wing when he's driving and kicking. He's a great shooter from outside, though.
He's a great player. He's a great kid. He's high energy. Let's talk about RC4, though, a little bit. Did you watch the Summer League game, Ricky Council? Oh, my God. What do you have, 29 points? He was the energy, Bruce. Did you watch that game?
I watched the highlights of the game, and I also talked to a few of the people around some current coaches, some current players. Ricky Council looks like he's really a professional now. And he's coming out. He's jacked. And the highlights, he just looked like a man amongst boys. Now, when I watch Summer League, a lot of times it's just that. It's Summer League. It's a lot of playground. It's guys kind of jockeying to be in the G League and not to get cut. But Council looks like, you know, he's a real deal.
I think he has the potential to play defense. I really do. I think it could be a hit in the draft process. I mean, I think he was at Arkansas. Josh would know better, like maybe 1 or 2 years. And it's interesting that Eric Musselman has coached a lot of our players with Caleb and also with Council. But Josh, I think Council's pretty good. Now, with Caleb Martin, isn't he a very inconsistent offensive player? I mean, I don't think he averaged 10 points during the season. He probably averaged only like 8 points.
It's funny, Spencer. A couple games that I've gone down with you and your dad, he cooked us. Every time he was on the perimeter, he was always cooking. You know,
he is the perfect fit for this team. He really is. I mean, you couldn't have. I mean, when I was telling you guys, I mean, I remember Charlie was going nuts, right? Charlie, you were like, we got him. Charlie was so excited. Charlie was looking for his season ticket package again.
I agree. The guy's a perfect fit. And look, he did average 10 points actually a game, exactly 10. And look, and when I watched him, honestly, it was always in the 18, 20 point range. Like I was shocked he only averaged 10 points a game. I mean, the guy's a full 6'5", man. He's a stretch, man. He can shoot. He spaces the floor, which is what they desperately need and don't have.
Well,
now,
we got a comment.
Doris, they got two.
We got a comment from Coach Matt Herbner. He's an effort of what is the mascot for effort?
The Mounts.
The effort of Mounts. Matt Herbner asked us a comment. He said, let's go sign Sadiq Bey. Well, we have a Villanova grad here, and no, they say Knicks can't get all the Nova guys. So react to that and tell us about Sadiq Bey. Do you like him? Is he one of your guys?
I do like him. The Knicks don't have the money for him. The Sixers do. I would not be surprised, Matt, if the Sixers did pick him up because he's still hanging out there, and he would be another great fit and add depth, as you said, for this team. For sure. Absolutely.
The Sixers have a lot of money left?
So, Dr. Lewis, question.
For mid-range, yeah.
Another follow-up. Who's your starting five for the Sixers? Dr. Liz, who are they starting as the team is constituted right now?
Well, you got, obviously, Joe and Maxi. You got Kelly Oubre Jr., and you got, you're going to have Eric Gordon, and then...
Wow.
And who am I missing?
Paul George.
And Paul George, of course.
Well, so I think Gordon's your wild card. You have Gordon over Council. You have Gordon over how about Caleb Martin?
Caleb Martin's going to be off the bench.
Do you think that McCain has a chance to start?
McCain is not going to start on this team.
I don't think you can, honestly.
I think Gordon's old.
You can't start 6 foot. Let's face it. McCain has got a lot of – he's 19 years old. He's probably an average defender. What I heard some people – and again, I didn't see the game. I only saw the highlights. I watched somebody I trust who said that – McCain looked like he's got really good balance, but his first step, he doesn't remind them of Maxey as far as his first step. We know he's
a good
shooter.
But he's not Maxey. He came in as a great shooter. He's a great shooter.
So Steve, you watched the game. What did you think? Let's just get your – it's an essay question, not a multiple choice. What did you see last night in his first game?
And I'm going
to
tell you.
It's unfair to judge a guy in his first game as a pro in the summer league.
Listen. The things out here on this kid, think about it. First of all, he's got – I know this doesn't mean much to you, but he's got 3.5. He's up to 3.5 million followers on TikTok. When he was drafted, he was at 2.8. He's 19 years old. He knows how to market himself. He's a great kid, and he works very, very, very hard. He has a lot of energy, and he's a great shooter. He developed this season at Duke. He developed and became, when the tournament started, the best player on the court for Duke. He's relentless. He's fearless. He drives to the basket. He's able to change hands and drive into the basket and score the basket. So he's here to shoot, but he's going to drive. He's going to come off the bench. He'll develop just like Maxey did. Maxey was forced into the starting position when Ben Simmons pulled his shenanigans. It was a blessing in disguise. Maxey was up to the task, but they will develop him. Eric Gordon will start on this team. Caleb Martin is not fit to be starting on this team, but he will get more minutes than Eric Gordon, I believe. But there's depth for this team, and Eric Gordon is a great fit for.
But Eric Gordon, you mentioned how McCain's too small. Eric Gordon's 6'3" and going to be 36 on Christmas Day.
Where does Kelly Oubre fit in, Spencer?
I want Council to be better than Eric. I think Council has great potential at 6'7". Why can't Council be another Oubre in the NBA? Is that impossible?
I think he's going to be lucky to make the team. He's playing against G Leaguers last night. So don't get too
excited.
He's
only in his second year.
I got you, but he's
Kelly Oubre was like his Kelly Oubre's playing like 15 teams in the NBA.
Kelly Oubre played great last year. He had a lot of energy. He stood up. He stood up, unlike your silent T, who you fell in love with, who in a deciding game, an elimination game, had 0 points. 0 points in a game.
No, listen, I like Oubre. Josh. I just think that you're underestimating Council. I think you're also underestimating.
You're putting Council in the Hall of Fame.
I actually like Council. And McCain, too. I think McCain is a good compliment to Matt if he will shoot the ball like he did. Because Connect, I mean, we'll be honest, Connect hasn't looked good in summer league, but it's only been two games.
So Josh, so we'll obviously, Coach Herbner mentions that Council obviously looked great in one game. Okay. He's at best a fringe rotational player, and that may well be the case. There's a lot of time between now and the start of the season, and they do need a good ball handler. And I believe Maxey plays his best ball off ball. It also, as you know, doesn't it take a lot of energy to actually bring up the ball and be the point guard? Doesn't that just take a lot of energy out of you? This is a 19-year-old kid. He's got to work on his defense. Who do you see as a starting point guard for the Sixers?
You know, Maxey is a starting point guard.
I know you like this player. What about Kyle Lowry? Wouldn't you bring back Kyle?
I would bring back Kyle Lowry in a role. I would absolutely bring back Kyle Lowry to even start at the point. I mean, you can get him for low money. He's a Philly kid. Let him finish his career in Philadelphia.
I think it's pivotal to sign.
Charlie, yeah, exactly. It's pivotal, obviously, but Lowry, you could probably get him for close to the league minimum. He's an older guy. He's a Philly guy. I think you really enjoyed being here. What are your thoughts about Lowry, Charlie?
At the minimum, but also there's another Reading kid, Lonnie Walker from New Jersey, who's out there. He's only 25, averaged almost 39%, 10 points a game, played about 18 minutes a game for Brooklyn last year. Though I wouldn't be shocked if he was on the roster opening day.
Cam Johnson out there.
There's so many. Trey Jones, the guy from Duke, too, as point guard, remember? Didn't he win the championship 2016?
Yeah.
You're right. I think Lonnie Walker's like really talent, like untapped talent.
Harbner says Lonnie with an exclamation point. So we got some momentum. Rovers got Lonnie.
You know who else? Cam Reddish is probably not signed to a roster.
But Cam Johnson is out there, right? I mean, they're in a fire sale.
That's a lot of money.
So we're switching gears now to the Philadelphia Eagles. We have somebody who will remain anonymous who played golf with Vic Fangio. And Vic is talking about he just loves Quinyon Martin, loves his energy, thought he played Mitchell. Great. I'm sorry, Quinyon, or so many Martins. Quinyon Mitchell, I really could be excused because I've never seen him play down. But they say that he's tough, that he's a Fangio kind of guy. He's tough. And today, actually, he was saying that he challenged A.J. Brown. Like, he was talking smack to A.J. Brown in practice today. So I love that. It also with Cooper DeJean, apparently he's still not all the way back from his leg injury. So Fangio was saying that obviously DeJean definitely not ready to play corner, back up in safety right now. They asked Fangio about Jeremiah Trotter, and again he said he's a young kid. He's not his dad. He's got his dad's name. As far as the one guy, that's his name, Jalix Hunt. That Fangio said he's most intrigued with Jalix Hunt. He's raw. He's got so much raw ability. If Jalix Hunt can be developed, he could be an incredible edge rusher because of his. He's from what, Texas Christian?
Houston Christian, yeah.
Houston Christian, even listen, less.
What year is he in the NFL,
Steve, Jalen? I know listen, you've got some dialing.
Quinyon Mitchell was clearly the best cornerback without question. In the Mid-American Conference football, whatever he came from.
The Mac,
come on. You're talking about a Toledo kid. This is all preseason hype, and I'm excited about it. I think Cooper DeJean is the real deal, and we're really happy to have him for sure.
Jalix Hunt. I got to give Roseman credit for selecting Hunt.
Finding out a Houston Christian. I mean, it's like
what a journey. I mean, this kid has transferred multiple times. I mean, he must – maybe he's very athletic. You think he's very athletic?
How tall is he? Combine guy? Wait, nobody knows Jalix Hunt. Everybody's hanging on it. Go ahead.
I hope it's not like the player from Colorado that they got. That was like a guy who never played football before.
6'3", 260.
Yeah, he'll be with Donnell Pumphrey. That was the steal that Howie had.
Pumphrey still probably has the all time
San Diego State.
He was a very good. Marshall
Hunt will be hanging out with him and
Mike Momoa
and these other guys that they drafted. But Cooper DeJean is the real deal. I mean, in my opinion, he's the Christian McCaffrey of defense. They're going to play him everywhere. He's going to return some punts. He's going to play.
I heard a good sound bite. You were driving. We were listening to the same stuff, probably. The Cooper DeJean was said he's really disappointed that he really wants to hit. Like, he's just itching to hit people. And he doesn't like the idea of the practice where he can't go full out and he's waiting for the preseason. So, I like the kid's mindset, Josh.
Yeah, maybe he should get taken by San Francisco because, you know, we have a powder puff preseason, like, unlike San Francisco, or we had Hargrave.
Maybe he should go to Detroit, right?
Yeah, where Hargrave basically said, Kyle Shanahan doesn't play games.
I know. I mean, Charlie, like, don't you think college is kind of more physical than even the NFL at times, just the hitting that's allowed
in college?
What do you think about
the real deal?
NFL hitting,
Charlie's
Charlie.
An SEC guy. How do we compare the SEC versus the pro league as far as their practices?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think there's so much with all this NIL money and everything now. You're going to have kids where back in the day, again, like with the Bear Bryant days, even when Bear Bryant was at A&M, they used to talk about those legendary practices over the summer before he went to Bama. Like, now you have all these kids making money. You're going to have so many people that would actually go out and actually try to get anonymously, of course, try to get someone in trouble if it got physical. So I don't think it's even possible, really, to have a physical camp anymore anywhere, because the money, again, is just, look, college football has been ruined. Let's face it. It's been ruined by money. It's turning in actually worse than the pros. So, that's why you're seeing all these injuries, because no one is in full shape, football shape.
Charlie, you know, as much as the NIL, and I'm not a proponent of it at all, but it's just the way the landscape is, and it was interesting, I had a conversation with the athletic director this weekend, you know, with likeness and image that they seem to be giving these kids, the NFL and Major League Baseball and the NBA, they don't give likeness and image, because that's where everybody gets, they get a piece of it, but they're getting paid for everything. This thing's going to collapse soon. It really is. It's gone so far over the top.
Where did they start demanding TV money?
Well, that's exactly
where it's going next. Why is it going to collapse? Because the investors are not going to get back on their investment? They're going to start losing games? Why do you think it's going to collapse, Josh?
Give us the analysis.
Because, Spencer, when you're paying, first of all, you're already paying them enough, and now they're going to get paid on likeness and image. And everybody who markets, say like you go to any college town, Penn State, Drew Aller's jersey. Drew Aller is now getting paid on his likeness. Every time you sell a Drew Aller jersey, you're getting paid on that. If you go down the street and buy a Joel Embiid jersey, the team and the NBA make money off it. They cut him a check at the end of the year for highest paid jersey, stuff like that. But they're not making a large amount off this. So they think it's just going to absolutely collapse. But they've basically just given everything away to a point where no one's going to survive.
Saying that the schools are eventually going to take that money back.
And not only that, the schools are going to take the money back. These kids, they keep talking about 1099. We all know we're 1099 employees. A lot of these kids aren't paying tax on this. You're going to watch this go on a huge tax evasion problem 5 years from now.
Well, yeah, it's going to be. Again, Spencer, we watch a lot of Josh Pate, you.
Yeah.
The fact that a lot of these guys are haves and have nots, and the fact that the programs on other sports, collegiate sports, they're just getting cut, and it's sad. You know, a lot of the women's sports are getting cut. A lot of the secondary sports, the sports I played, you know, ice hockey, tennis,
big ice
bowling,
hockey,
golf,
legend,
all the really macho Lehigh sports, legend, chess, all those macho sports. Just kidding. The fact of the matter is that it's just, do you see this thing collapsing on itself?
Well, what I think is eventually, like Josh said, is that airlines and big corporations are going to be sponsoring Alabama football. Like, you're going to have United Airlines sponsoring Alabama, and they're going to get in, and the big corporations are eventually going to make this money. I'm more offended by conference realignment. Like, I'm offended that the Virginia Tech Hokies are going to play Cal in the middle of September. Like, I hate realignment, but in terms of guys making money, I don't know if I'm that offended, because the big guys have always kind of gotten paid. I mean, now it's kind of out of control with the transfer portal. I think they will fix the transfer portal issue. I think that they'll fix a lot of these things. I think realignment's terrible. I also think, Bruce, the fact that the playoffs go into deep January, if I was an agent, I don't know if I would want my player who's going to go to the NFL playing 16 games late in the January. 17. You're going to see players hold out of playoff games coming up. Yeah, it's too many games. Too many games. I don't like that.
You see, there's also stipulation. A lot of these guys with the NIL deals that they have, if their teams are making it to the playoff, they're required to get that last check from the NIL. There's a lot of underlying reasons with college football that these guys are getting paid that type of money, that if they're in the playoff, they are mandated. If you want to pick up that last check, then you're going to play in that playoff game for my team.
That's the only positive.
Yep. Dr. Lewis, speak to what you see as far as the structure. Is there a way to massage this into a more reasonable structure? I mean, this is very, very open-ended. Any suggestions? If you were the head of the NCAA or if you were involved in all of this, how can you add structure to what now is really a Wild West?
Well, for football, I mean, I'm a proponent of just making it north, south, east, west in every of these conferences, because the travel is brutal. And you have to have those divisions. And I think that's the number one thing that they have to do. They also have to fix the transfer portal. The talent is, they're not developing. A coach is not able to develop talent. Jay Wright told me that. I mean, you can't tell a kid what to do anymore. You can't reprimand a kid anymore, because they're basically going to say, you know, whatever, and I'm going to own the transfer portal. See you later. So that's a big, big problem. So those are the two big problems that need to be fixed ASAP. But the realignment, I agree with Spencer, is just it's so ridiculous.
One thing that Josh Pate brought up, Spencer, is that right now there's multiple times where you can enter the transfer portal. And that's driving the coaches mad, especially to be able to enter the portal after summer. And I think at minimum, don't you agree there should be one time you can enter the portal? Do you think there should be a time? Obviously, you used to have to redshirt. You used to have to sit out. And that kept a lot of people from transferring. And they eliminated that. Now it's totally fluid. There's multiple entry points.
Yeah.
You hear Josh Pate, and again, there's no better person in college football than Josh Pate. Subscribe and like him.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Spence? I mean, you watch a lot of this.
Well, I think that in the future, I think the schools are going to pay the kids directly. And I think that there's going to be something in the contract that says you have to stay there 2 years unless your coach gets fired or removed from the team. And that would make sense. The only reason to transfer after a year is if your coach, you know, if there's scandal or your coach gets fired, you know, because then you're basically.
I don't really like that caveat.
No, I do like because you're going to play for a coach in a school.
I don't like that caveat because that means that if a team has to fire a coach or somebody has to resign, it's going to be just a free for all. It's going to change. It's going to tilt everything. So the problem, I guess, is there's always a balance. There's always an equilibrium, Josh. As far as creating structure, I want to hear your opinion that Charlie's kind of – this is really an area we haven't dealt much with because we've been so pro basketball-centric here at Rover. Go ahead.
You've given the kids everything, okay? You're not going to start – once you give them something, you can't just take it back and reel it back in. Doc, they definitely have to put, like, restrictions on transfer portals. It's amazing. All of a sudden, Matt Rhule said it best. We get into spring practice. We see where our team is. But literally, we're calling and saying to every kid, hey, are you still with us before you go on summer break? They're literally asking these kids, or are you transferring? Every program is doing this. We have college basketball programs. Literally, kids are transferring at the end of the first semester and lock it
in. But what are we teaching our kids? And I want to hear what Charlie has to say, but what are we teaching our kids?
The worst values.
No, the values. They're 17 years old coming out of high school, and they sign a contract, a letter of intent.
Yep.
What does that mean? They're teaching these kids no values at all. That letter of intent is basically toilet paper.
It means nothing at all.
It means nothing.
They can immediately
you don't like the way coach talks to you, you transfer, Charlie.
Charlie, what structure obviously we're bantering around a lot of stuff. We're spitballing, as we say. It gets tough because, again, you're dealing with the law. You're dealing with the fact that they basically opened it up for NIL. And if the NCAA comes in and does something that's illegal or unconstitutional, the impingement of their freedom, they're going to be subject to litigation. Charlie, what other reasonable structure ideas do you have for college football?
I may be considered an old goat or an old man, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the original structure. So what? You got a scholarship. Good for you. I don't think you're entitled to anything else. I think that college sports should be totally separated from pro sports. And if you want to have another league, like make the G League something where you have an option to go pay and get played, by all means. But the fact that these – again, it's thriving. Jay Wright, Nick Saban, and you know what Saban said broke his back? When the third string running back came in and said, I want another $1 million, he knew it was time to go. And he left. He left his legacy and said, this isn't for me anymore. And you're going to see this more and more as the years go on. The guys who made college football want nothing to do with it anymore.
Charlie, you're so right. It's driving the great coaches away. But unfortunately, that toothpaste is out of the tube and the horse left the barn. So you're not going to go back on the paying, but the restructuring has to be done. And if it means a commitment is a commitment, they got to restructure the transfer portal to not be so easy.
Well, you don't have a governing body. That's the problem. And then every conference is going to want what's best for them. Like you mentioned, like, why doesn't Pitt play Penn State? Why doesn't West Virginia play Penn State? And I would love that. And I grew up watching the backyard brawl in those great games. It's because these conference commissioners like Sankey and Petitti of the Big Ten, they're just overlords that are they're so powerful. Why would Greg Sankey, Josh, why would he try to make the sport better when he could just be selfish and make the SEC better? You know, why?
Well, because you try to do it for the greater good of all.
And I wish that people fought the way that you do, you know.
But I like the idea. One thing that I believe Charlie mentioned about regional, when we think about what makes college football great, it's those regional games. There are certain teams that had no real chance of winning a national championship, like my alma mater, Lehigh Lafayette, a great regional rivalry. And the fact is, especially with the Big Ten, SEC, that you're flying people across the country to teams where there's no natural rivalry. Yep. I think that really erodes the whole thing that makes college football great. Oklahoma, Texas, all those things. And, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, all of those regional rivalries. So if you had some overarching structure where you could have, you could create regional, even nuance, you know, you're out in the Pacific area. And again, a lot of stuff we always loved is watching those late night games on the West Coast. We love that stuff. And even the lesser conferences out West. And why should they be flying all over the country?
It's just such greed.
It's so artificial.
It's greed. It's greedy.
They need to restore some sanity to this.
Well, I love those 10:30 games. And for them, it was 7:30. But then they'd complain that, you know, their TV. It's all about TV ratings, which is just, it's terrible.
But the thing is, there's plenty of money in TV. I just think you need, there is no leadership. It's kind of anarchy. You've got to create some structure. You've got to get thought leaders like Nick Saban. Yeah. Like a Nick Saban, if he became the overall commissioner, you know, if he became the commissioner, everybody said he's going to be the executive and he's going to be working. Everybody, they're going to be pitching in. And some people think, like Pate says, there should be a second tier where they have their own, like second tier teams have their own championship.
I think so, like group of five. And that the more doesn't, I think about it.
Certain teams will never have a chance to be Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. And if they have their own, so there's right now, There's just no structure, and we're in a state of flux.
Absolutely.
I want to thank everybody. This hour flew by. I want to thank everybody for tuning into Rover Sports. Everybody here, our producers, our staff. I really enjoyed the night. And to everybody liking it to Bruce Grossinger Facebook, I want to say good night and good sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, "Good morning, Marine."
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manning Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manning Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manion Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there.
Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it.